talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. She's a little warm out there today. 96 degrees currently in Elk City. Winds are out of the southwest at 23 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 29. Humidity is 11. So hopefully nobody's out there baling hay right now. Or shouldn't be. Let me put it to you that way. We are under a fire weather warning, and it's a red flag one until 10 o'clock tonight. And when it's just bad out there. Let's check out, see what the temperatures are in our listening area. Looks like 99 at Hollis, 99 at Altus, 96 at Hobart. The cold spot is 92 at Camargo and 92 in Canadian, Texas. So Wheeler, Shamrock, you guys are right there with us at 96, 97 degrees. And actually Cheyenne just dropped a temperature. I don't know why. They're on top of that hill. It should be just that red hill there. It's 92. But anyway, we got that going on. Let's see, how about check some local wind measurements going on. Poor eastern Oklahoma, with all that rain they're getting, they've got the highest winds in the state right now. But anyway, I shouldn't be that way. But anyway, it looks like it's anywhere right now. Altus is the highest in our listening area at 32, along with Weatherford wind gusts. And up in the Panhandle, Slapout, Beaver, they got it going on at Hooker, Goodwell, 37 to 40 miles an hour. So got that going. Let's check out some prices today. Everything is in the red except for live cattle and feeder. And live cattle, June 132.97, August 134.60, live cattle for October is 141.95, December is 148.20. feeder cattle, they're steady, a little down, not much, not very much at all, because they were green 20 minutes ago. May is 159.30. August is 173.97. Lean hogs are in the hole there. May 147. June 177. Lean hogs in July are at 103.82. Cotton's at 143.61. Looks like oil's down to 103. Natural gas is back down out of the eights. It's at 740. Per MCF. Looks like that's it. Let's see what the cash grain prices are doing here. I just looked at them. Takes me a little bit to get across there. Let me refresh, make sure I'm telling you non-fake news. Hard red winter wheat, $10.96 a bushel. Corn, $8.03. Milo's at $7.58. Soybeans are at $15.13. All right, let's see what's causing all this ruckus along our markets. Because when I got up this morning, come over here about 6 o'clock, wheat was at 11:31. So something's happening. But wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about dry weather in the U.S. Southern Plains, while corn and soybeans were lower on favorable planting conditions. Red flag warnings indicated strong winds, low humidity, and in general, very dry conditions have been issued for the Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat is attempting to grow, according to the National Weather Service. About 68% of the Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of winter wheat, was suffering from drought conditions last week from the new data from the U.S. Drought Monitor. Roughly 1.9 was seeing exceptional drought, the worst rating on the monitor scale, and I looked at it a while ago, and it's in the very southwestern corner of Kansas, right next to the Oklahoma Panhandle. In Oklahoma, 65% of the state was seeing drought. The monitor said slightly more than 10% was suffering from an exceptional drought, and I can tell you where that's at too. Just looked at the monitor. most of all the Oklahoma Panhandle in the very southwest part of Oklahoma. Greer, Hollis, Jackson, Beckham, we are in that D4, but the rest of it's in the D3. Little or no rain has fallen in southwestern Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. In the Texas Panhandles, I checked that out too, and basically the whole Texas Panhandle is in the D4 drought condition. Only 27% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition last week, down from 48% that received top ratings a year earlier. The USDA is scheduled to release its weekly crop progress report today. I'm sure it's out, but I had enough to talk about. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Corn and soybeans plunged overnight as dry weather is forecast for much of the Midwest, which will allow farmers to accelerate their planting. Dry weather is forecast for much of this week in Iowa and Illinois, the top producers of both corn and soybeans in the United States. This should help producers with planting that's been delayed by excessive rainfall this spring, and they've had some cold weather up there. I seen some pictures earlier on the internet, corn popping up through some snow up there. Some 14% of the U.S. corn crop was planted last week. That's down from the prior five-year average of 33%. 8% of the soybeans were in the ground. That's trailing 13% of this time of the year. Wheat for May delivery jumped 14.25 cents to $11.22.75 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wow, Kansas City's futures surged 21.75 cents to $11.92.25 a bushel. Corn futures dropped 10 cents to $7.74 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery lost 13 cents to $16.09 a bushel. Soy meal fell $4.80 to $408.80 a short ton, while soybean oil futures declined 0.31 cents to 80.59 cents a pound. Money managers cut their net long positions or bet on higher prices, as the common man knows, in corn and beans in the 7 days that ended on May 3rd, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net 327,802 corn futures contracts last week. It said the CFTC said that's down from 338,594 contracts a week earlier and smallest bullish position since February 15th. Spectators held on to 148,011 soybean future contracts last week. That's down from 166,000 the week before. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investors held 39,537 hard red winter wheat contracts, and that's down from 44,881 contracts the previous week, marking the smallest bullish position since February the 15th. Investors also held a net 10,702 soft red winter wheat contracts last week, and that's down from 14,907 the week before. And that's the smallest position since March 1st. Red flag warnings have been issued for much of the southern plains, west into parts of southern Nevada, while strong winds are forecast for parts of the western corn belt, according to the National Weather Service. In southwestern Kansas, winds will be sustained at 15 to 25 miles an hour, with gusts up to 40 miles an hour expected today. Humidity will drop as low as 7%. We skip forward to July or August on Monday with afternoon temperatures averaging 20 degrees above normal, said the agency. Southwest winds and very strong air will combine to continue fire danger Monday afternoon. In Oklahoma and in the Texas Panhandles, winds will be 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Humidity will drop as low as 6%. South Dakota, Minnesota, guess what? Minnesota's got way more wind than we do. They're going to be up to 50 miles an hour, and they're going through the same thing that we are. Well, sad news before I go to break here. Come out yesterday, I got a phone call, so I want to read this. And we'll read it in the memory of a fallen firefighter, Jason Smith, with the Balco Fire Department. If you guys remember, there about a month ago, him and another firefighter from Balco flipped over their fire truck in a six-foot ditch because the smoke was so heavy. And both of them were meta-flighted to Lubbock. And one of them came home, and the other one come home, but it just wasn't good. So just 33 days ago, while fighting the Beaver River Fire in Beaver County, two Balco firefighters were injured with their truck rolled off a six-foot embankment. They were flown to Lubbock, Texas, to the burn unit to receive treatment. Jason was finally able to come home at the end of the last month, but today he lost his battle and succumbed to his injuries. Jason leaves behind his wife, two daughters, and a 3.5-month-old grandson. Chief Robert Marshall of the Balco Fire Department has offered to take anything sent to the fire department over to the Smith family. Early in the original post, Chief thanked everybody for their kind words and prayers and said Jason was a really good guy, that he seemed to do a lot of things for their community that made him proud. So everybody send a prayer to Jason Smith's family and the Balco Fire Department. They need it. They lost a good soldier today. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back for sure. All right. Let's see what's happening right there. It's 96 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 29. Humidity is 11%, so be careful out there. We are under a red flag warning till 10 o'clock tonight for sure. Anyway, you heard that straight off of Jared Athan's noon report. He was reporting on that, and we got great team around here. So I was listening to B&L, Benji's and Lori's commercial there, and it reminded something I seen on social media this morning. They just posted it. If anybody's needing some Red Angus bulls at Hobart at the Stockyards this Wednesday, they have some two-year-old purebred Red Angus. They've been tested, the whole nine yards, wormed, all their shots, ready to go to work. They're going to have them at the sale Wednesday. So if you were slacking or being too tight at all the good bull sales we had this spring and you're still needing a bull and you want a Red Angus bull, you might visit the Hobart Stockyards coming up this Wednesday. Or just call Rex. Rex loves to talk, and he always talks with a smile. So anyway, give Rex a call over there, Rex Fleming, if you need anything. Show the pictures on the Hobart Stockyards Facebook page. Some pretty good-looking bulls right there. So if you need one, go get you some. Also, the text line is open at 580-225-9697. That's the KECO Ag text line. There's a gentleman at Sayre. I got his number here. He's looking for some round bales of hay. I don't know how many. If it's 10 or 20, if anybody's got any out there to sell, alfalfa, rye, wheat, grass, whatever, you can call this gentleman, Leon, at 580-928-3393. And Leon is looking for some hay, round bales. So anyway, anything you got, alfalfa, rye, grass, wheat, he'll take it. So anyway, he'd appreciate a call. 928-3393. There we go. 33. The numbers are coming in light on my screen today. Hey, anybody win any money? Text me if you want any money Saturday during the Kentucky Derby. The underdog kicked some tail. How about that? I was watching that, and, you know, the horse racing needed that. They needed a good story, and that was a great story. A gentleman from Oklahoma City, actually. It says he's an oilman, but I Googled him. He's a landman for oil companies. But anyway, oilman, landman, whatever, doesn't make any difference. Lives right there in Edmond. Hangs out up there in that biker bar there in Edmond and does his betting on horse races with his buddy. But he claimed this horse back in September last year for $30,000, and they took it out. It got a couple of thirds, a second, a fourth, and a fifth. You know, nothing spectacular. But the race he bought it at, it won by 12 lengths. And it went up there. I'm sure everybody's heard about it. I just think it's a great story. And went up to the Kentucky Derby, got in with just a few minutes left, the last minute when one of the big dogs backed out. Got in, and what a race. It come to first time trainer there, first time jockey was there, first time owner was in the Kentucky Derby, and they took it home with them. And it was a great story. I thought it was kind of cool. Well, I was watching the drone coverage of the race, and you watch Rich Strike go through there. That's the name of the horse, Rich Strike. Will and deal through there. It reminded me of Dale Earnhardt Sr. trying to either win Talladega or Daytona in the draft. I mean, he was going through there. What a show it was. So anyway, if anybody want any money, I want to know, because I heard there's some people out here in Western Oklahoma were way up in the big bucks. One of them actually bet on the horse, and just a long shot winner, 80-1 odds. Out in Vegas, it was actually 100 to 150-1 odds. And so anyway, I'm not a horseman, I promise you. I don't know nothing about horse racing, but Saturday, that was fun to watch. July 15th at your local FSA office. Spring crop and CRP reporting is due July 15th, May 15th. If you planted any spring oats or potatoes, it's due. So remember those dates, July 15th for spring crop and CRP, and May 15th coming up here next week. Spring oats and potatoes are due. So anyway, let's kill the rest of this segment. I wanted to go through the fire bands. If I can find out, well, there it is, burn band, not fire band, burn bands. I want to update. Some people always ask me to update them on the burn bands. As of right now, not very many people out here in Western Oklahoma have got a burn ban going on, but I'm going to name you the ones that have a burn ban. Cimarron, the whole Oklahoma panhandle is under a burn ban. And actually, everything in the Texas panhandle is under a burn ban except for one county that joins up with Texas County up there by the panhandle of Oklahoma. That's Hanford County, and it's not on the burn ban. In Western Oklahoma, Woodward, Major, Dewey, Roger Mills, Greer, Kiowa, Jackson, and Tillman are under a burn ban. Harmon, Beckham, Worstall, Custer, and Ellis is not under a burn ban. But that doesn't mean you need to go out and start a fire. Just be careful out there with the fires. But like I said, only one county in Texas Panhandle is not under burn ban, and that's Hanford County, right below the Texas Panhandle there. Well, when I come back, we got cattle numbers for the Texas and Oklahoma sale barn receipts, and we'll talk about a little bit about the U.S. drought and some other improvements in the cattle deal. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 29. 1,373 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 214 brought 450. 11 at 410 brought 216. 7 at 444 brought 197. 6 at 533 brought 186. 4 at 688 brought 149.50. 5 head of heifers at 312 brought 166. 9 at 446 brought 158.50. 4 at 503 brought 162. 5 at 653 brought 152.50. 12 at 689 brought 144. Butcher cows were 69 to 114.50. Butcher bulls brought 71 to 120. Bred cows were 650 to 1410. Pairs brought 400 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
It is 97 degrees, heat index at 92. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 21 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour right now. Humidity is 11. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you. And I had a text in while I was during break, and looks like Casey, meteorologist Casey on News 9 is giving us an 80% chance of rain tomorrow evening and early Wednesday morning. So stick your hands out there, palms together, and pray to the good Lord we get it, because we do need it. I just give you an idea how dry it was down in the breaks last week. The breaks is a little different ground. It's even, seems like it's even gets drier quicker than red shale up here in like Roger Mills County and Beckham County and parts of Custer County. But got 1.7 inches at my place, and I'm not complaining here, so don't take this wrong. Got a little bit of water in the ponds. They're not full by no means, but hey, I'll take it. Went down there yesterday, checked the water. I still got the solar pump going just because you don't know how fast those ponds will dry up. And got it going. Just went down there to check the cows. And the only thing green down there so far is the leaves on mesquite trees. I mean, that's how dry it was. It needs another rain. I'm sure that part of that moisture went in the ground. That's hard ground down there. Part of that moisture went in the ground, but it needs another rain, and I'm sure it'll take off like a rocket. But to my amazement, 5 days later, there still wasn't any green grass. Oh, yeah, you can find some down in the bottom of a draw where the water was standing, but up high in the pastures, it still looks as dry as it did before we got that 1.7 inches. So, because it came pretty hard, so I'm sure it didn't soak in much, but like I said, I'm not complaining. Well, let's see what's happening. Let's check out the drought monitor before I go to the cattle report receipts from the deal. So basically everything west of I-35 in Oklahoma is in the D3 at least. And there's a spot up there to the east of Woodward that's in the D4. Looks like the southern half of Beckham County, all Greer County, little bit of Kiowa County, all of Harmon, Jackson, and Tillman is in the D4. Texas Panhandle and a couple of the, Oklahoma Panhandle and a couple of the counties up there in the northern part of Texas Panhandle are under a D4. Then it drops down about five or six counties, which that's like 10 states in most countries, as big as those counties are out there in Texas Panhandle. There's a strip that starts right there in Greer County and heads southwest towards El Paso. There's just a big strip in the D4 in the Texas Panhandle. So, and then in western Texas there. So, a lot of dry country. That's all there is to say about it. It's dry. It's hot and it's dry. And we are ahead of schedule. I noticed this morning watching Channel 9, the record for Oklahoma City is 94 degrees. And set on this date, you guessed it, back in 2011 during our drought. Well, let's check out some of the cattle receipts from Texas. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $4 lower, except for 600 to 700 pounds. They were $2 to $5 higher. Feeder heifers were $1 to $4 higher. Steer calves sold $10 to $15 higher. Heifer calves $6 to $10 higher. Many areas of the Texas saw some rain this past week. Through their moisture also come damaging wind and hails. This moisture did improve demand for calves. Demand moderate to good for feeder cattle. Supply included 79% feeder cattle, 42% was steers, 1% dairy steers, 54% of them were heifers, and 3% were bulls, and 1% was dairy heifers. 18% slaughter cattle, 3% replacement cattle, and feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 56%. 5,852 head were sold at the sale barns in Texas last week compared to 5,776 the week before. Looks like they're on track. Let's see what some of the numbers was. Here's some 338 pounders that averaged 204.45. 419 pounders were bringing up to 205. Some 521s were bringing up to $1.92. These are all steers. 627 up to 177. Some 759 pounders brought 163.50. That's pretty good. 860s and 800 range were bringing anywhere from $1.34 to $1.50. Some 900 pounders were bringing up to $1.46, and then they had some 999s, exactly 65 of them, that brought $139.50 apiece. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $1 to $3 higher, with mostly good demand to close the week. Steer calves sold $3 to $6 lower. Heifer calves $1 to $4 lower. Demand for calves were moderate despite the much-needed moisture that fell across most of the state, not all of it. Many of the grass orders appeared to be complete. Demand good for feeder cattle as cattle futures showed some improvement this week. Another week of good cash slaughter cattle trade occurred this week also, thus giving the feedlots some current, keeping them current. Slaughter cows sold steady to $4 lower. Most decline on lean cows, because I noticed the big cows still bringing pretty good. Slaughter bulls were only a couple dollars lower. Demand moderate for cows and bulls. Supply included 90% feeder cattle, 8% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 65%. 27,817 head were sold in Oklahoma last week. That's down from the 28,643 sold the week before, and it was 23,580 a year ago this time. Well, let's check out some of the prices here. We got 140 head and averaged 329, brought $2.27 a pound. 34 head that averaged 345 brought up to 237 a pound. 220 head at 379 brought up to 224 a pound. 422 brought up to 219. 435 $1.96. 475 was 207. And then we got, let's see here, 520 pounders bringing up to $2 a pound. 626 pound average was 175.31. Some of them brought up to $1.87. And we got some 669 pounders that brought 175. Average price on most of your 600 pounders was in the 167 to 180 range. So down a little bit, but not much, I don't think. A guy did point something out this morning. You know, our prices on cattle are up compared to last year. But he pointed out to me, and it sounded like he did the numbers because he was firm with them. He said, cattle might be up this year compared to last year, but your inputs are up also. And he said, I put a number to it, and basically you're getting less for your cattle this year than you was last year. So it's something to think about. You know, whether you sell your cattle or keep them or whatever you want, you got to do what you got to do for your operation. But he just made it clear. He said, cattle might be up this year, but so are your inputs. So anyway, he had a good point, and I appreciated it. What else we got? Oh, I need to pass this on to all my friends out in Texas Panhandle. For cattle raisers financially burdened by the March wildfires, assistance is here and on the way. If you're a member of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, they have opened up applications for the TSCRA Disaster Relief Fund. Applications will be accepted within 60 days of when the damage took place. So it's been 30 days, so we're halfway through that 60-day deal. So you need to get on it if you had damage. The funds will go directly to cattle raisers who need it. The more we collect, the more we can give, and the more that can be benefited. The Tech Disaster Relief Program is designed to provide financial assistance to ranchers in Texas and Oklahoma who are victims of a natural disaster and consequently are financially needy or otherwise distressed. Assistant funds are designated for damage that occurred in disaster counties as declared by Governor Abbott in Texas. And I don't know how that works in Oklahoma. I'm a member of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Association. I don't know how that would work with the governor. I guess Governor Stitt could do it, because I don't know if he did Beaver and Roger Mills or any of those counties. I didn't keep up with that part. But they are taking donations if somebody wants to donate, and are still being accepted. And since the fund is administrated through the association 501c3 organization, all contributions are tax deductibles. Well, speaking of money, I think there's a little over maybe 100 tickets left for the Roger Mills County Fire Association raffle that's been going on. And it's been wonderful. You guys are so kind out there, especially to the people who donated the money so we can, and the meat for the do the raffle. But it's going great. They're having a meeting tonight. As you guys all well know, the drawing is Friday, and we shall know tomorrow how that's going to be drawn, time, and place. We'll get that all figured out and be sure you guys are aware of it, because there's a lot of tickets. Funny story, I had one book left. Rusty Wilson and I think were the only ones non-firefighters that had these tickets to sell. And I had one book left, and this morning I was going, man, I know I put these back for something. And it dawned on me who it was. Mr. Ray down there at Ray's Boot Repair. I remembered. He said, come by, I want to buy some. And this has been 2 weeks ago. So I went by there this morning, and man, I got the old look when I walked in. He thought I forgot about him. And I actually kind of did. I just couldn't remember who it was. So anyway, I got Ray taken care of. So all my tickets are gone. And if you need some, call one of your firefighters. Actually call, I think the one that's got the tickets left is Levi Carter. I don't have his number here right in front of me, but he's the fire chief at Cheyenne. He wouldn't be hard to run down. He's probably on Facebook, or get a hold of Carl Billy. They'll help you out. He's the Roger Mills emergency manager. They got a little over 100 tickets left. That's not a lot. That's but they would appreciate if somebody finished buying them out there. So anyway, when we come back, I got your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, May the 3rd, we sold 750 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, May the 5th, we sold 3,350 calves and feeders for a total of 4,100 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better cattle cows bring 77 to 83. 10 cows bring 50 to 74 and a half. Bulls bring 60 to 110.50. 2 day-year-old bred cows, 835 to 1335. Older bred cows, 860 with their 2 to 4 year-old pairs, 1285 to 1750. 5 to 8 year-old pairs, 1210 to 1525, and our 9 and older pairs, 1,000 up to 1400. On our steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 207 to 237, 4 to 450, 191 to 212.50, 5 to 550, 182 to 191.50, 6 to 650, 155 to 180 and a half, 7 to 750, 156 to 161, 8 to 850, 145 to 154.60, 9 to 950, 140.75 to 147 and a half. 1,050 pound steers, 130 to 136.75. 10 steers weighing 11 weight, bring 131 and a half. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 181 to 218. 4 to 450, 152 to 179. 5 to 550, 161 to 165.50. 6 to 650, 132 to 155. 7 to 750, 146 and a half to 150.50. 8 to 850, 136 to 147. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 136 to 137. 1,050 pound heifers, 102 to 119.50. Very good market. We have 14 feeder buyers every Thursday. We have several packer buyers there. They do not buddy up. I stay in the ring start to finish to make sure we can get the most we can, whether you run one head or 1,000. Very aggressive market. We sold 3,350 kids and feeders. Finished the sale at 2:30 p.m. For this Tuesday, May the 10th, we'll have 30 bred cows and pairs. We've got another 30 bred cows running 8 more by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-98 degrees, heat index 93, humidity is now 8%, southwest winds at 22 miles an hour, kicking her on up there to 29. And here is the rest of your Hobart Farm and Garden long range forecast. Today, breezy, 100 degrees. Tonight, 63, still breezy, but not as high as it was today. Tomorrow, it's going to be hot, 98 degrees with south winds at 12 to 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, according to the Mesonet, 30% chance of thunderstorms. According to my weather bug, 50% chance of rain. And according to Channel 9 News, 80% chance. So there's a chance we're going to get some rain tomorrow night. 66 for a low tomorrow night, 91 for a high Wednesday, mostly cloudy. South winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy. Thursday, winds kick in again out of the south, 92 degrees. Have a slight chance of rain Thursday night, 20% chance. South winds 14 to 18 that night. And Friday, partly cloudy, light winds, and 90 degrees. So we got some chances coming up. Everybody, put your palms together and just pray that we get it, because we really need it. We're already past, most of us are past being in a bind. So let's check here and see if the winds have got stupid on us since the show started. Nope, about the same. Eastern Oklahoma still has the highest winds, according to the Mesonet, 34, 38. There's a few up there in the Oklahoma Panhandle. But anyway, it's pretty breezy. So all you people that went over there for the lake, hope you're having to, I don't know, their lakes are pretty full. Ken Al put a picture this morning, the release from Grand Lake up there, and it was a roaring. Again, let me remind you again of the gentleman at Sayre, Leon, 928-3393. He needs some hay. He needs some round bales of hay. He's looking for it, and that's his number, Leon, 928-3393. He would appreciate it, and I would appreciate it. And talk about appreciating stuff. The instructor, Greg, from Western Oklahoma Technology Center, which I attended and I have a degree from in welding, FYI. Not that you guys care, but I just want to throw that out there on my resume. He's messaged me twice on Messenger, thanking me for helping him out. They are completely out of tomato plants and pepper plants now because of what I said Friday on the show. So thank you to all my listeners that went over there and bought them out. Next year, we'll see. Maybe he'll plant some more and enlarge their greenhouse and put a lot of tomatoes and stuff in there, and we'll hook him up. And maybe I might even go over there and get some, and we'll play Let's Make a Deal, What's Behind Curtain Number One over there. So anyway, Greg, you're welcome, and thank you for showing kids how to grow tomatoes, peppers, and whatever else you guys got in that greenhouse. Hopefully sometime I can come over there and visit your greenhouse, because I'd really like to have a small one myself. I'm getting some ideas. I actually want to go to Amarillo out to Texas A&M. They've said they've got a greenhouse deal out there to grow plants and stuff in a setup that's unreal, but it's for the common gardener, not the large ones. I want to go out there and check that out. I'm a Texas A&M fan when it comes to gardening, but when it comes to football, you're out. Anyway, so We got that, and let's see, what else we got going on here? Again, thank you, Greg, for messaging me that. All right. The bird flu. I know you guys don't want to hear about it, but I got to report on it. I have to report on it. The current outbreak of the highly contagious and deadly flu has affected far more flocks and states this year than last outbreak, even 7 years ago. But the number of birds that have been culled this year is fewer. And you ask why? Well, thank Iowa for it. In 2014 and 2015 outbreak, Iowa accounted for more than two-thirds of the more than 50 million birds that were destroyed after being infected by the virus. This year, Iowa accounts for about a third of the 37.5 million that have been culled, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture data. We are extremely pleased with our ability to respond quickly to control and eradicate the disease, said Chloe Carson, a spokesman for the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Iowa is particularly susceptible to the deadly bird flu because it's the nation's leading egg producer. Even though just 19 of the 285 infected nationwide flocks have been in Iowa, that's on about 7%. The state is still by far has the most affected birds of any state, but they shut her down. Minnesota has 69 confirmed outbreaks, but only 2.9 million affected birds, compared with Iowa's 13.4 million affected birds. So if you're wondering why your eggs are going up in price, along with the inflation, it's because of this right here. But anyway, the Oklahoma, I think, handled it really well. They found one in a wild duck. Then they found one in a backyard flock somewhere, and they shut down all the trading down. No, you're not going to Atwoods and buy any chickadees. That ain't happening. So anyway, I think Oklahoma handled it really well. This has been going on since March 1st, when 42 chickens and ducks in a backyard flock in Iowa were reported, and it was just downhill from there. And I'm telling you, I was looking at this list of how many and where, what county and what state and all this other stuff, but these one guys had to be crying in their beer because one commercial flock of more than 5.3 million egg-laying chickens in one county had to be destroyed. That's a lot of chicken eggs. That's a lot of chickens. And that's just crazy. And I guess bull snakes would be friendlier than that. But anyway, that was the – there was another one in here that I seen. 8,000 turkeys, 54,000 turkeys in the same county as where those eggs laying chickens were done. So anyway, that's that on that. And then we got what else we got? Oh, some cautions going out there on the cattle market right now. We'll finish up before right now at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction in Clinton. They're going on. They'll be finishing up later on this afternoon. I'll have that report and Elk City report coming up for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Woodward Livestock Auction will be having their weekly cow and bull sale. I will have you some numbers tomorrow from the Hollis Livestock Auction Saturday. And then again Wednesday, Hobart will be having their weekly sale at the Hobart Stockyards with Mr. Rex Fleming. And as I said earlier in the show, if you haven't got your bull or something's happened to your bull, please go to call Rex or even go down there to the stockyards, and he's got some I don't think they're registered, but they're pure bloods, red Angus bulls down there. And get on their Facebook site if you got Facebook and check out the pictures of the red bulls. They look really good. Thursday, Woodward will be having their weekly calf sale, and we'll start it back over at Elk City right here with their weekly livestock auction going on. We got it covered out here in our listening area. If you got cattle issues, you need cattle, or you need to get rid of some of them, we got it covered here. And then some people take theirs on up there to the city slickers, but that's all right. We got it covered out here. So buy local, sell local, help out the local neighborhood. And can't tell me that your spare tire doesn't get used going to El Reno. So anyway, hey, and it's only $5.50 a gallon for diesel fuel now, so get you some of that. Doesn't cost you much to drive to Elk City or Hobart or Woodward or Hollis back down in this area or Clinton. Going up there to the city, deal with that traffic. I'm just kidding. Don't everybody get, just keep it going. I'm just kidding, giving you a hard time. I know everybody's got their favorite spot to take their cattle. Well, let's see here. The cattle market brings a mixed optimistic and caution news. Fed cattle prices are level not seen since mid-2015. The heifer composition of FI fed slaughter and the reasonably aggressive beef slaughter and liquidation clearly communicates the tightening of future beef supplies. Box beef comprehensive cutout values continue to counter seasonally softened, but only from last year's greater than $300 CWT amounts. Beef demand continues to look very strong, even as beef valuations and packer margins shrink. The beef supply chain gives the modest perception of something of a return to the normal given the repeated restart issues of the past year. Beef production has been very strong since problems experienced in January, and retail beef prices are finally not the protein setting record high valuations. There was a mix of news in the cattle on feed report. Placements were again surprisingly large compared to expectations, but then again, maybe the drought driven behavior by cow calf and stocker producers reflects conditions worse than understood. Regardless, the very high cattle on feed inventories will impact the market for some time with these placements. But there's also a discussion that cattle feeding enterprises are chasing the available calves in anticipation of a tighter and smaller fall run. The inventory on cattle on feed over the 120 days and over 150 are only modestly tighter than in 2021 and 2019. There you have it. Oh, I got to tell you about my cows. We synchronized. Remember, we was talking about that. We pulled cedars Friday out of 26, 27 head. Or, no, I'm sorry, 21 head out of the there's some already bred there. Pulled the cedars, gave them a shot. I went and got bulls, turned two bulls in with them. And the love boat action started yesterday. Five of them come into heat. 11 more were in heat this morning. And hopefully by tomorrow, the rest of them will be in heat. And if everything took, they should all be bred in 3 days. But we're going to leave the bulls with them a couple more cycles and see when they were bred. Got them because you guys know it's 100 degrees out there. And breeding is not all that wayno when it's hot like it is. So we're going to see how it goes. But the bovine love boat was in full motion this morning when I got there. So all the girls are happy for the most part. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.